look at the difference Johnny Kenny made in Europe. He was their focal point, the goal scorer. You don't have that in the league this season. You don't have that out-and-out striker.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball.
In partnership with Rockshore. Bringing you League of Ireland football, a league of our own. Get the fact, be drink aware. Visit drinkaware.ie.
Right, let's get down to business. Good evening, everybody. You are very welcome along to League of Ireland Late Night. It's me, Cameron Hill. Thank you so much for jumping on once again this Friday night. League of Ireland Late Night in partnership with Rockshore on Off the Ball, a league of our own. Get the fact, be drink aware. Visit drinkaware.ie. So much to get into tonight. A literary flavour to this week's build-up to the League of Ireland, it has to be said. So we're gone full Yeats with the intros tonight. I will arise and go now to Shane Keegan.
How the hell are we, Cameron? Don't tell me the other lad. Don't tell me the Ward lad bailed out now just because Galway are in a relegation battle.
He appears to have joined O'Leary in the grave, Shane. So, Barry Murphy, you better have your 5-minute monologue praising Moses Dyer, but maybe not tonight.
No, yeah, I was wondering whether Johnny would show up tonight or not. Jesus, what a mad night, Cameron. I don't know where to start. Say we're going to have some calls in tonight.
I'd say we are, and that's a great place to start, because if you want to get your League of Ireland thoughts off your chest this evening, we want to hear them. Request to speak using the mic icon in the bottom left corner there, and we'll get you on the line as soon as we can. I do see a caller all ready to go, so I will get to Gareth in 2 seconds just to take you through what happened tonight. So, Bohemians 1, Shelburne 0, as Damien Duff watched on from the grassy knoll. A Dale Rooney penalty as Shelburne were reduced to 9 men at one point. Mark Coyle among those sent off this evening. St. Pat's, anything Bowes can do, St. Pat's can do just as well, because they got a late strike to win 3-2 at home to Cork City. Cork are now level on points with Sligo Rovers in the bottom two. They were 1-0 winners over Galway United, as you might have guessed from the allusions of the lads earlier. Drogheda United and Derry City finished 1-1 on Boyne's side, while Shamrock Rovers are top of the table tonight. They got a 3-1 win over Waterford. Let's get right stuck in to the callers this evening, because our first caller is just joining as we speak. Gareth the Bad Boy Barry, which is a very cool nickname or username that I have managed to butcher there. But Gareth, how are you?
Can you hear me?
Not too bad. By the sounds and looks of things, you're a Cork City fan, I want to say?
Unfortunately, yeah.
Right, okay. So talk us through tonight. 3-2 up at Pats. It kind of looked like you had it in the bag. You were leading 2-1, and then Zaka Elbazetti scores and Jamie Lennon gets it at the death. So, yeah, I mean, sum it up for us.
I think it's just our season out here, because we always seem to concede late goals, and I don't think what are happening. Just Jordan Ash coming in now. He'll probably be in for the next game. But is he going to make a difference? Because barely needed investment in the club, and it's just not being invested in. Do you know?
Were you at the game tonight, Garrett?
I unfortunately wasn't at the game. Actually, worked the moment, but I was hoping actually you, Shane, would take over the job, because I saw how you done with Queenstown. I like your style.
fair play. No, I think
good. Actually, so rare for us. Good, it's okay.
Sorry, can you say that again?
It's going to be an interesting one to see how Jaron Ash gets on. I mean, that's nearly happened on one or two occasions already, hasn't it?
Yeah, because the rumour was he's going to take over before Clancy came in. But, like, to be honest, I don't know much about Jaron Ash. So what do you think of Jaron Ash coming in? What kind of coach can we expect? What kind of manager can we expect?
Yeah, reality is none of us know really a whole pile, do we? Because he's not one of the usual names that we've become acquainted with. He's not one who has been around the league. So it is a bit of a shot in the dark. Listen, he's been batting his eyelids is maybe the wrong decision to or wrong phrase to use, but he is a guy who has been, you know, linked with quite a few different League of Ireland jobs over the years. So I think I remember taking a call from him a couple of years back when he was just sussing out the Dundalk situation, possibly as well. But No, look, he seems to be quite highly rated. Obviously, you know, if he's worked at quite a high level with Ipswich Town and both Aston Villa, very briefly came into the high performance role within the FAI setup as well. I remember at the time, whatever happened, that didn't last too long, and he went back across the water. But look, reality is we just don't know, really, do we? But you need something to happen quick, because I mean, my God, that's a double whammy for you tonight. Like, to be a goal up heading into the 90th minute, and then to come off for the players to come off the field and see that the gap had closed with the Sligo result as well, was just another kick in the stones for them.
Yeah, the goals they conceded were just so naive tonight as well, Shane. I don't know if you saw the El Bezzetti goal, but Anand gets it and he launches it 70, 80 metres down the pitch, and they're suddenly bearing down on goal, 2-1 down. That just can't happen. That's just basic stuff. No matter who the manager is, that's just basic stuff from Cork on the night. And you just look at Jerry Nash coming in now and you wonder what assurances he's been given that he didn't get in the first time when he first looked at that Cork City job that Tim Clancy might have not been given this time around. What assurances has he been given?
Yeah, and Barry, however unforgivable conceding a goal like that is at a normal point in the game, to concede a goal like that so late, I mean, how the hell can you not have yourself, you know, properly set up to defend the final minutes of the game?
Yeah, that's it.
Garrett, what do you reckon? Can he save your season?
To be honest, I don't think so. I don't know. No. I can't see where it's coming from. Like, fair enough, we're short players. I was kind of disappointed in Clancy leaving, but I don't think the fans turned on Clancy. I think we understood the situation. You know, we're having no backroom team, no backroom staff, player injuries. So, like as a supporter, like for approximately 3 years, I don't think the fans turned on Clancy. We're kind of disappointed the way he left, but it's understandable. Will Jordan Nash turn it around? Like, I don't know. I can't see it happening. I don't know. Because there's just so much negativity around the club at the moment. Do you know? And when Usher came in, he was all positive and he was all this. And I don't know. Between the prices of burgers now, prices of tickets and stuff like that, people are kind of, I don't know, people are walking away from the club. Like, as I said, I was a regular. I was there every second weekend. I used to travel up and down the country. And like this season now, I've been to a few games because I'm not paying the €25. Do you know? And it's not because I can't afford to pay it. It's just €25 for that, like. Do you know? I'd rather go to Queenstown and watch them.
Yeah, well, I watched that one now myself tonight, so I did. And yeah, listen, imagine. Jesus, Garrett, imagine a promotion relegation playoff between Cork City A and Cork City B. It'd be something else.
Yeah, that's it, yeah. The A team and the B team.
Gareth, thanks for jumping on and giving your thoughts on tonight. Hopefully things are looking up, but we'll probably speak to you soon. Safe home.
Yeah, hopefully in a few weeks' time, I might be more positive. Who knows?
Who knows? Exactly. It could be thanks, whipped lads. Into shape. Talk to you later.
Bye, thank you.
Yeah, it's probably a good place to start, Shane, because we finished here at 11 o'clock last Friday night. We had literally just had a Cork City caller saying, I'd back Clancy to take us down and bring us back up again, to be honest. I hope he stays. And I think maybe it was a wet 5 minutes before we found out that Tim Clancy had walked away. What did you make of that decision? Was that just a case of someone who was at the end of their tether?
Listen, like, reality is here, Cameron, it was a life decision as much as it was a football decision. I've spoken to Tim a couple of times over the last couple of weeks. I've said on this before, Tim would be one of the managers in the league that I would get on best with. I just find him to be a great guy. He's very kind of very chilled, very laid back, doesn't take himself too seriously. He's the sort of fella who you could just have a bit of crack with over a few WhatsApp texts every now and again. And I've been chatting to him there in recent weeks, and I knew he was finding it tough. He had told me about opening the business up in Trim. And that meant he wasn't really in a position to stay down there, and that he had to travel up and down on an almost daily basis. He'd spoken about the trouble in trying to get trying to get a number two on board and all of that kind of stuff. I think in his own head, his, I think what he would have liked to have done was steadied the ship, you know, got them out of those bottom two spots, maybe finished eighth, and then, you know, walked away kind of at the end of the season with the job done and passed it on to somebody else at that stage. But look, I think it just started to snowball between one thing and another. And, you know, sometimes, you know, obviously more often than not, the reason a manager departs is because he gets the bullet. But sometimes the manager, the person, nearly is a better way to put it rather than the manager, sometimes the person just says to themselves, you know, do I need this? Am I happy? Is, you know, is this how I want my life to be at the moment? Or the 50 to 60 hours I'm putting into this job at the moment, you know, how would my life look if I channeled those 50, 60 hours in a different direction? And I think that's kind of where Tim was at the moment. And he decided, yeah, no, this is, you know, I'm better off cutting ties here. So it did. It came as a bit of a surprise to everybody. As I say, even though I'd been chatting to him, it still came as a bit of a surprise to me. And yeah, it's going to be very interesting to see where things go from here.
That's a really interesting point, Barry, because often when it comes to a manager in the League of Ireland losing their job, the talk, understandably, is always about how difficult it is. It's not a particularly secure or vibrant workplace environment or opportunity environment. When you lose your job as a LOI manager, you can be in the doldrums for quite some time, so it can be very tough. But Shane's offered a very interesting alternative to that there, where if it doesn't work, it doesn't work, and you can persevere and keep going. But if you know that you're fighting a losing battle, or that it's a bit of a Sisyphean task after a while, it is probably better off that you just walk away and cut your losses.
Yeah, it's such a noble thing for Tim to do, in terms of looking after the club as well as his family and himself, his mental health, everything around it. But when you're not getting the backing in terms of just staff around you to take some of that burden off you, and Shane would know better than me in this situation. Well, it's all about the staff you have around you. Like I was talking to Tim as well, and just little stuff like the video analysis and things that he was cutting clips himself. He had a guy in doing it, but not on a permanent basis. So When you've got to do little jobs like that, and you've got a 3-hour drive, and you've got to manage a team, you don't need to be cutting clips and trying to analyse games to yourself. That should be put in front of you so you can go out and present this to your players. And listen, I think Tim, at the end of last season in the awards, he threw a little comment out there when he was picking up the manager of the year for the first division. He said, listen, how are you going to do it next season? He said, if it depends on how much Dermot is prepared to put in. And that was a little kind of, not a little dig, but it was a little reminder that, listen, we're with the big boys now. We need to go and meet that. And if we're going to have first division standards around the staff coming in, that's where you're going to end up back in. And that was a little reminder from Tim. And he obviously didn't get that then. I saw him come up to Shamrock Rovers a couple of weeks ago, and just the staff around him was very light. And again, you need a number two that you can trust in beside you to share the load. And he just didn't get that, and it became too much for him.
Yeah,
Cameron, you have to get the setup right off the field. You really, really do. And I mean, you know, managers across the water would just, you know, they'd just laugh their heads off at some of the stuff that we as managers end up doing over here. You know, Tim highlighted some of it. You know, I would say Galway United has come on leaps and bounds since I was there, and you can be fairly sure that John Caulfield is not stupid enough, I'd say, to find himself doing some of the stuff what I was doing. But like, I'm not joking when I say, you know, I was spending longer, Cameron, on Daft.ie than I was on Y Scout, because we were trying to get players in from outside our immediate catchment area, which meant we had to get them accommodation. Accommodation was unbelievably tough to get in Galway. So I was spending hours on that, trying to find these properties, showing up at show houses and stuff like that, trying to find different things. Like, you know, while fighting a relegation battle at the same time, like, yeah, you have to have things right off the field to allow the manager to focus on one thing and one thing only. And evidently, you know, that wasn't the case by the sound of things at Cork.
Yeah, like, the interview that Owen Sheehan did here on Off the Ball with Kevin Doherty this week was very insightful, just on that point and on having that backroom team. That Kevin was basically explaining that, like, the thing that it's so obvious given how much we've talked about Drogheda and all the changes and how well they've done this year, that they're switched to part-time and full-time, but just the amount of time that they're able to dedicate to, like, when it's their full-time job, you're able to give a good bit more in terms of analysis, and you're not balancing between real life and your football life. But, like, that just shows, that also, in a weird way, just illustrates that, like, Drogheda had an incredible backroom team there, and they just needed that push. Whereas, as you're saying, if you don't have, if you're, like, plugging the holes in the dam, as Tim Clancy appears to have been doing for the better part of a season at this point, like, Barry, it becomes an impossible task, which leads me on to, I hope he's not listening, but what does Jared Nash have to expect from this?
Yeah, as I said earlier, he must have been given assurances that the money's going to be there. I don't think Tim said the money was an issue about getting a number two in. It was just couldn't find the right man. And you look around the league and the teams that have done well over the last couple of seasons, like Glenn Cronin has been a constant, Stephen McPhail with Shamrock Rovers. You've got Joey O'Brien is Duffer's sidekick. He's there at every game. He can play the good cop, bad cop there. So Tim didn't have that. So you can't be all those personalities in one. You've got to have somebody in beside you, Darragh Doyle with Kevin up in Drogheda. So you've got to have that backroom staff in and around you. But that, as manager's going in to seek new jobs, I'm sure he'll have said the first thing, having listened to Tim all week about what the grievances were with the club, those are the first things he's going to be asking Dermot. Listen, have we got this in place? Can we get these sort of people in place? Because at the end of the day, the same thing will happen to Jair if those facilities and those personnel aren't in place. So I'm sure he's wise enough to have had that secure before he came in.
Yeah, there's lots to talk about on the Cork front, and we hope to get a couple of more callers on tonight from the Cork perspective. I know there's a good few who listen and call in weekly, so looking forward to hearing your thoughts later. Shane, what were you watching this evening?
Yeah, like I said, I dropped down to my old beloved again, down to the First Division, top of the table clash between Cove Ramblers and Dundalk there. So that was where my eyes were. I kind of went into this game believing that Cove could get the result that they needed. I mean, if Cove had won the game, the two teams would have been level at the end of tonight. But obviously the flip side of it is you lose the game and you're 6 points behind, and for the first time, you know, there probably is a real gap. Like, a lot of people kind of taking this as a given that Dundalk were going to win the league. And look, obviously it looks a little bit more likely now after tonight, but there's so much quality in that Cove side. They're like, three quarters of that Cove team is basically the Cork City team that won First Division last year. So I've kind of fancied Cove to actually be able to match them stride for stride. But to be doing that, you can't be losing at home to them. If you're trying to win a league title, you can't be losing at home to your main rivals. So the Dundalk have put a bit of daylight between the two sides. Look, they are very good. I don't know if you've seen the goal. Darrell Horgan gets an absolute cracker tonight for them, and they probably were deserving victors in it overall, Cameron.
Barry, were you watching the televised game, the Bohemians against Shelburne, which was also our live commentary game on News Talk with Off the Ball tonight, or did you also decide to go off Broadway?
No, I was doing a bit of an Ed Harrison, the Truman Show. I had screens everywhere looking. So I had the Bowes Shells game on, I had a bit of the Waterford Rovers, and I saw the important part of the Pats game, the last 10 minutes as well. So a bit of everything.
Okay, well, we'll go one by one there. So Bowes against Shells, Bowes 1-0, Shelburne down to 9 men. Damien Duff, obviously touchline banned for that, was spotted by Stephen Doyle, who I know is listening, on the grassy knoll, sitting on a chair that I was wondering if Bowes had provided said chair or if he brought it from home. I would have backed him to do the latter, to be honest. But what did you make of it? Because Mark Coyle clearly doesn't enjoy centre half to the point that he's willing to get sent off.
Yeah, I'm just so surprised he played there again. Like, you look at the goal that Mason Melia got against Shells, it's a direct result of Coyle stepping out there and not knowing the centre-half position. And obviously he doesn't, he's a midfielder, but like, he's so influential in that midfield that you've just got to come up with some other alternative in there. Like, do you play Gannon centre-half there? Sam Bowen's not even in the squad tonight, whether he's just been bombed out of it after last week, the substitution. But it's just not working with him in there. And listen, he made a mistake earlier on and put a throw in straight over his head, and he went to let it go out, and he just doesn't know what position. And then Dale Rooney's just suckered him in there. He's taken, the pitch was awful, to be fair. It's bobbling everywhere. takes a touch. Dale Rooney gets closes him right down, and he just drags him down to the floor, and he's got no option, to be fair, Harvey, but to give the penalty and send him off. And listen, the Bows were really good, and Rennie's interview was telling before, he said it's tactics have kind of gone out the window the last couple of weeks. It's all about heart. And what they've had is, since that, I spoke to Detzer a couple of weeks ago after that Shamrock Rovers game, and he said there was some home troops spoken at halftime in that Tala dressing room, and since then they've just come out all guns blazing. And again, it was the same tonight, a hustle and bustle performance, and managed to get over the line.
That's a really interesting sidebar there, because that's from watching Bows earlier in this season, and still no draw yet. It's amazing. It's an incredible run so far, but that was something that was missing. Evidently, was the emotion and what they could bring. When you looked at last year, even in the games that they came up short in, I'm thinking of the Dundalk and Sligo games, just in terms of teams that were around them in the table, that there were flashes of brilliance. They were really, really strong in an attacking sense, and it was just the odd mistake that had cost them. Now, they were pretty bad mistakes at the end, but like, they clearly have a second wind again. Is that fair to say that it was just the emotion, really, or is there something else that Bows are doing that maybe they hadn't at the very early games in the season?
No, they've added some real quality to the performances as well. It's not just about hearts. When you look at some of the stats as well, before that Sligo game where things started to turn around, they hadn't scored a second half goal, and since then they've now scored 11. So what they're doing is they're keeping the ball alive. They're getting the ball into the box, keeping it alive, working off seconds, and getting a lot of goals from there. So that's kind of what they're doing. They're going a little bit old school in terms of things. It was all about possession football, centre-half, back out to full-back, back into centre-half. And just, it was boring to watch. The fans were kind of getting up against it, and the results weren't happening. And ever since that Rovers game, they've just gone on, gone a bit back to old school, and it's really worked from tonight. And listen, they should have been out of sight, and coming into the last minute, Shells with 9 men still could have nicked something at the end. So defensively, they did well in the end to hold on to it, but it's another massive result.
I had a fear for a moment there that Shane Kennedy might have been phoned in out of it, having joined the News Talk phone in last night on grassroots football in Ireland and the Lion calendar. But he is here. He's fronted up tonight. So Shane Kennedy, welcome to LOI Late Night. Talk us through that one.
I just put the umbrella in bed there, so we didn't finish what Barry said after Sam Ballon. But he's spot on about Mark Wilde. We've been asking him to come out with centre-half. I think he didn't mind playing there because they didn't have a proper striker up front. Bows don't have like a proper striker. Sorry, Whelan's had a physical number 9, so he can kind of get away with it. But positioning last week was terrible. Tonight he stepped out a few times trying to gamble, you know, and it's not really what you want a centre-half to be doing. Now he won the ball once, I think twice, but the other, it's real like last-ditch type defending. You know, steaming out. It's an awful, awful goal. And I felt like Bows were decent, but the fullbacks is where you can get at them. We just don't play with any wingers. He's trying to have us to play like Shamrock Rovers, but I just don't think the players are good enough. And I don't even think if you get Paddy Barrett back and you get Sean Boyd back and you get the rest of the lads back, I don't think our players are Shamrock Rovers of 4 years ago. That's just my opinion. But I think it's too easy to say, oh, we're giving bad cap. We're not creating much chances either. I don't think in most games when we need it.
Yeah, I only saw the post-game kind of analysis with Doyler in the studio and that after the game. And I mean, they showed, this looked, I don't know, Barry, you can tell, or Shane, you can tell me, this looked like it could have been even more comfortable for Bows, really. Like, it seemed to be majority of the chances very much in their favour. And, like, starting to get worrying, Shane?
Sorry, we had 10 men, Shane, when they created.
Naturally enough,
They didn't do a whole lot when it was 11-11 either. But when all their second half chances were always having 10 men, and by the last 5 minutes, we kind of dominated a little bit, but they defended comfortably. Like,
but from your point of view, like, are you is it getting worrying in any way, or where is your head at in terms of where they see how this season is going to play out, Pete?
Well, look, when I say we don't know whether the players are back, we do have those excuses at the minute. I even said to Stephen O'Donnell today, his young one goes to the same school as my young fella. I said to him, we have no defenders, we can't defend. And that wasn't an excuse, that's just a fact. But I think, yeah, your head, we're in every game. We're not losing, we are conceding goals, but we're only losing by the odd goal. You know, so we could easily turn this around. We just need to get the players back. And then you go, right, well, the lads are back. But it comes, Mark Wilde should probably just send the ball. But like you said, a lot of the lads, you can't send the ball to me, but the balls are going to come straight back. Like, we have John Martin there on the bench, and I really think he should be playing up front, especially when we can't play a high ball. Both the balls in coming to us are getting headed either straight down the balls or they're winning it. And then we can't play a long because we don't have Sean Boyd and John Martin sitting on the bench. Yeah, I'd be worried. And for me, the form of Ellis Chapman is a big worry. Like I said it before, it's the best player in the league nearly last year, and he looks like. And I don't think it's down to him. I just think it's down to the system that we play.
Yeah, it's amazing because he's, like, obviously Duffer has managed to get such a good tune out of most players who've come to the club. That is the one, Barry, that just stands out where it just hasn't worked yet, has it? Like, it's hard to put it together. I was kind of looking from the outside going, this is a player who showed real, real talent. Duffer's going to get his hands on him. I was genuinely thinking this is a player who could be in contention for League of Ireland Player of the Year, if he hits the ground running under Duffer, and it's got the exact opposite way, hasn't it?
Yeah, exactly. I was the same, Shane. I thought this fella's going to be a nailed-on starter. He's going to be right up there. He's exactly what they were missing last season. Not that they were missing much, but I don't think Duffer knows his best team. Like, you look at, they've made 8 first-half substitutions alone this season. So, when he doesn't get it right from the start, he reacts. And to be fair, the changes he makes has worked. Look at that triple substitution last week. But their best chances came when they had 9 men tonight. They spun the ball down the side. As Shane said, Meepos just can't hold the ball up. It's coming back off him. So the best chance for him is when he spin it down the line from, and he can run around the corner. Same with Harry Wood. He was probably the best player in the night for Shells, Harry Wood, tonight. But they're just not making clear-cut chances. And like, they've conceded 12 goals in the first half this season. You just look at how sloppy some of the goals are that they're conceding. And again, it comes down to not getting another centre-half in the off-season. And that's such a pivotal position for them. See, they were short, they kind of in that position last season. I was just so surprised they didn't go and get somebody in there to kind of fill that slot. But listen, if they could have nicked something at the end tonight, and you're looking at that result with 9 men going, geez, that's a phenomenal result. But again, it's another week going by where they're just falling off the pace a little bit.
The remainder of the month, Shane, is going to be absolutely massive for you. I'm just looking here. Obviously, Drogheda are having an outstanding season, but essentially, your next 3 games are against the 3 teams that, before a ball was kicked at the start of the year, were kind of the 3 longest-priced teams in the league. So it's home to Drogheda, home to Sligo, away to Cork. Like, that is the kind of run of games that has the potential to set you right again if you could get moving again. Like, it's very doable for you to go 9 points from 9 there.
I think we have to.
Yeah.
I think we simply have to. There's no excuses. Whether anyone's injured or whether anyone's not, you play 4 at the back. I don't think we have enough defenders to play 5 at the back. Or 3 centre halves, even, whatever you want to call it. But yeah, no, they are must win games now, and there's no excuses. They are the games that we struggle the most in. I don't know. It's also hard if you start making changes and you start bringing in Tullock or Dan Kelly comes on or whoever. They haven't played that much, so we're not going to be like match sharpness. Like, if someone like Tullock is a big mix, so someone who can dribble with the ball, we have no one. Like, even like looking at Ross Tierney tonight, like, he's similar to Harry Wood, but he's a bit more energy than Woody. Like, Wood looked good, but it's kind of easy for him because he's dropping so deep. Where Tierney looks a different player to me. But yeah, we have to go and win our next 3 games. And there's no excuses. That's as simple as that. And if we don't win 3 out of 3 or 7 out of 9 at minimum, but you'd be nearly thinking you have to draw against Drogheda, which is the next game, which is a bit worrying. Yeah, then it's alarm bells, alarm panic buttons have to be pressed. But look, we're going to live off last season and we'll enjoy this year and the year that was coming. I was looking at the fixtures there during the week. That was 7 games in June or something, which is madness. But we'll probably come out with that with half a squad going into the Champions League game. And Sam Bowen was injured last week, Paddy. That's why he was taken off. And he's injured every week. Like, his record is ridiculous. Like, so I wouldn't be surprised if he would let go at the end of the season. I think he pulled his hamstring before the break or something.
On the upside, at least you can say your manager has been involved in arguably one of the greatest League of Ireland photos of all time. I mean, it's just outstanding.
When and Derry?
No, tonight. Get a look at the picture. You might have seen that.
Got the fisherman's jacket up on the grassy knoll, just at the school end there, looking over everything.
Ah, yeah, he was only short of taking off the Undertaker hat and rolling his eyes.
He was sitting in the seat and he had the chair turned to the school. And he was obviously on the phone texting somebody he didn't want to see. But my God.
Yeah, he had Paul Beard. He was texting Paul Beard, I think it was. To bring before we go, lads, though, what I just want to say, I watched that Sligo and Paul's game last week. Conor Reynolds is absolutely outstanding. That centre half off Sligo is brilliant.
Young fella.
Oh, he is brilliant. He literally has everything. I'd sell 2 or 3 players to get him. Well, I know obviously he can't, but he is definitely one to watch.
Listen, Shane, thanks so much for jumping on.
Cheers, lads.
Cheers, Shane.
Thanks.
We keep counting them out and saying it's going to be very, very difficult, and they pull off a result like this at Johnny Ward's expense and Galway United's expense. But like, it's those massive, massive results away from home, especially against very difficult teams, that give you hope as a Sligo Rovers fan.
Yeah, listen, the self-belief is going to be building there now. It really is. As I say, it's worrying times for Cork City. They really do very, very much so need the new manager bounce, that's for sure. But Sligo have taken a different route, obviously. I think I would be amazed if there was any point in the season in which they would, no matter whether they're bottomed all the way through, I don't think they'll ever consider, not that Cork sacked Tim, I suppose, but I think there's no doubt John Russell will be the Sligo manager for the entirety of this season. And that belief that the club are showing in him, he's shown why. He really is. He's shown why. I think, a couple of weeks ago, maybe we were writing him off and there was a gap starting to appear in that. And he's just starting to get a tune out of him. I mean, that's a massive, massive win, because even though they've been playing well, and there seemed to be no clamour from Sligo fans to move him on or anything, at the same time, I don't think they'd won in the last 5 or 6. Now, they'd been unfortunate in a few games, and they'd had some kind of tough run of fixtures and that, but it was a good while since they'd picked up a win. Look, it's a huge one for them. It's an absolutely huge one for them, and it'll give them a huge sense of belief that they can pull it off. And Galway will be raging. John was a former Galway United hero and star up there, I suppose, so he was. So they won't be happy with him coming back and pulling the wool over their eyes.
They certainly won't. We'll get the perspective of Stephen Doyle in just a couple of minutes' time, because he was commentating at the game at Daly Mount Park tonight. But we're going to get the perspective of the new league leaders, or the restored league leaders. They are now 2 points at the top, got a 2-point cushion at the top. Shamrock Rovers do, and Cian is standing by. Good evening, Cian. How are you?
How are you doing, lads?
Not too bad. Sounds like you're on the way back from Waterford.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay. What did you make of it? Because goal down, and then Rovers did Rovers things.
Yeah, just what a header by Paul Jammins, what a player he is, by the way. It's just
brilliant header, absolutely super header. How he generated the power, I don't know.
Like, the cross wasn't great. It looked like I was coming away from the box, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
It's just what a player he is. Like, he's unbelievable. Any team in the league would take him, I think. Waterford are lucky to have him. But I was just thinking on the way back there, I think it was a great decision by the Rovers management to bring in Ed McGuinty and make that tough call on swapping out Leon Poles, because I know Ed McGuinty's had one or two mistakes this season, but the difference in the back three or back five, it's just a lot calmer. It's making a massive difference, because every second week last season, Poles would make a mistake. But it just seems way more settled. Like, Pico looks back to his best. Lee Gray's been brilliant. Corey O'Sullivan is doing great. And it's just, they seem more settled with having McGuinty behind them. And I know it looked a little bit rocky earlier on with one or two mistakes by McGuinty, but, you know, it, just in the last few weeks, you can see that things seem to be settling down there. I don't know what Barry thinks about that.
Yeah, no, I think you're dead right. You probably, for Leon's point of view, he probably felt a bit aggrieved to be moved out of position. But listen, Ed, it was tough coming in for Ed, because Ed is coming from Sligo, where you're getting 20 shots a game and you're saving 10 of them, conceding three or four. When you come to Shamrock Rovers, you're getting three or four chances against you and you've got to save them. So that's a huge pressure. It's probably the most scrutinised position in the league in terms of people talking about it. But again, Pico and the lads have been so used to playing in front of Alan Manniston for so many years and having that consistency. But for Ed, it's about just keeping his concentration, because everything else is there. A few mistakes he's made has been balls over the top, lapses of concentration from outside the box, getting sent off. Those things can be ironed out, but the basics are there from Ed, and he has the quality to pull off the big saves when needed as well. So listen, I think he's going to grow into the position. They've had a couple of clean sheets last couple of weeks. Obviously he conceded tonight, but it's probably not a keeper in the world that saves that header. But again, he just needs a real run of games, and the Rovers are really starting to motor tonight. A couple of big goals given up from Waterford, but they didn't have to do too much to put them away, Rovers. But again, really starting to motor at the right time.
I was going to say, Barry, from the keeper perspective, what did you make of the poor Waterford keepers passed out from the back?
Yeah, it's come back. He's trying to hit it back into the centre of the pitch. On that, on your bad foot, you've just got to go wide. You've got to stick it out for a throw-in and deal with it. He's just caught it too much, left it on the ground. It's a great finish from Noonan, to be fair.
He makes his mind early, doesn't he?
Yeah, it is, because you've got to guide it around the defender with enough pace to keep it on target as well, and that's a split-second decision, so it's a brilliant finish. But to be fair to him, he did really well in the first half, a good one-on-one save against Aaron Green, and Radkowski had come off injured a couple of minutes before that, and he was doing well for him, and it just messed with the back four a little bit, or back three, I should say, for Waterford, and he'd been doing well. And listen, it's just those type of goals that they've been giving up. I don't know if you saw the first goal, the Shamrock Rovers goal. It's just a throw-in into the corner, and it just catches him. McMenemy totally off guard. Aaron Green pulls it back, and it's an easy goal, easy finish for Gaffney. That's the type of goals they've been conceding of late. But listen, the little good run has come to an end for them. But again, there's no easy games for anyone in this league.
Keane, can I just ask, you mentioned him there when you were giving us a little bit on the game. Corey O'Sullivan, I mean, for a kid that young to be coming into, you know, arguably the hardest team in the country to break into, he must be showing a serious level of talent. How do you rate him, or tell us a bit about him, or how high do you think he can go?
Yeah, he's been very, very solid. Tonight, he probably on the ball, he gave it away a few times. He was given space to run into a lot, and he over-dribbled a few times and gave the ball away. But in general, he's just like 7 or 8 out of 10 every week. I'm not sure where he can go, like how far he can go. I'm not sure of his position, what his best position is, if it's left centre-back, if it's a left back, or he's played wing-back at times. And just in every position he's played, he's looked 7 or 8 out of 10. Very tidy. He never gets done 1v1. Never gets done in the air. He's not that big. He's kind of like a dependable player, if you know what I mean. But very impressed so far, especially with Cleary being out.
He reminds me of that kind of John O'Shea mold, where he can kind of play anywhere along that side, or even dip into midfield. He's got that quality around him. Again, his problem will be where somebody puts him in a settled position, because he's can fill so many gaps that he might be one of those versatile players that they just bring on when gaps are needed to be filled. And it's not a great place to be as a player. You want to be playing every week, but there's just such quality down that left side with Honahan as well, that he'd be doing well to displace him when Dan does come back in, if he does come back in.
And Barry, he is left-footed, is he?
Yeah.
Yeah, like that will give him, you know, I often look at that Rovers team and you think the one, you know, if you're trying to pick holes in it, one of the few holes that are there is that they are such a right-footed team. You know, like Lee Grace has spent his entire Shamrock Rovers career pretty much on the left of a back three, despite being right-footed. They've continuously had right-footed left wing backs. You know, I just think the fact that he's a left-footer, be he playing in a back three on the left of a back three, you know, if Lee was to play in a different position across that back three, or be left back or left wing back, just giving him that balance is going to be a big bonus to him in terms of the minutes he tries to get.
Yeah, definitely, Sean. I'm always surprised in the off-season they didn't bring in another centre-half when Sean Hoare went back to Pats, but obviously they saw him as that replacement that he could just slot in. And Dan Cleary's been, to be fair, all three centre-halves have been in and out of the team with injuries, and Corey come in and slotted in for a couple of them. But yeah, it's a big move to not sign a centre-half in that position. So, but they obviously saw enough in him that they didn't need to go out and purchase someone.
Cian, thanks so much for jumping on. Safe travels back, and congrats in terms of being the As It Stands champions right now.
Cheers, lads.
Stephen Doyle was patiently waiting. He's dropped off again. But we'll hopefully get his thoughts on what happened tonight, and maybe some of the juicy post-match press conference, maybe a little teaser as to what we can expect over on the Audible channels tonight. All right, so we've crossed off the action at the RSC and at Daly Mount Park. Baz, you watched the final 10 minutes of Pats against Pats tonight. Basically, what did you make of it? What were the final 10 minutes like?
Ah, incredible. Canada. Pats were so poor for the other 80 minutes. They really were. They're just pedestrian the whole game. And at Cork, it was a brilliant Mason Melia header. When it first went in, it was a corner whipped in. It looked like it was Joe Redmond on the end of it, but it was Mason Melia with a stunning header at the back post. And then Cork got an equaliser, a brilliant header as well to level up. Shawnee McGuire comes on, scores the penalty 2-1, and it just looks like they were cruising at that stage. Pats had nothing about them, and they brought on Simon Power and Elvis Eddy, and they just offered real pace to the team. And just a nothing ball into the box, Joseph Manang gets it, and a little sidewinder down about 60 yards down the pitch, Simon Power's one-on-one with the right back, and Elvis Eddy's just made such a clever run. It's 3-1 at the back post, and he really slows it up as he's coming into the box, and then just accelerates as Simon Power knocks the ball in. And to be fair, Elvis Eddy mishits it, it goes off to the defender and in, but you just thought it was a third coming as well. It was just so naive at the back from Cork, and a good little bit of interplay from Pats around the edge of the box, and ball falls to Jamie Lennon, and he slams it in the back of the net, and huge chaos in Inchicore, but I think it's going to paper over some of the things going on in Inchicore at the moment. Just the second half performances in some of the games this season, even the 2-0 win against Galway, they were really poor second half, and they got away with one tonight.
Yeah, there's absolutely... Shane.
Just looking back at the goal as Baz is talking, I'm just watching back the Pats winner. I'm frantically looking at my lineups here again to see who 14 for Cork was. I'd say it could be Kit Nelson, is it? Like, it is, yeah, Kit Nelson, I thought by the size. If you watch the goal back again, and listen, Jamie Lennon does do really well, and I've actually praised Kit Nelson on a few occasions so far this year, but I'm just looking, and Jamie Lennon is standing on the edge of the 18-yard box for a long time, and like Kit Nelson looks and sees him and makes a bit of a run towards them, and then by the time he realizes the ball is actually going to come to him and he properly quickens up, it's too late. And you know, they're the little things where if he just made that burst initially when he'd spotted the danger, he potentially snuffs that out. And like as the Cork City manager, that is the kind of stuff that would drive you crazy. That is the bit where you'll pull the kid and show him the clip, and you know, maybe say to him, listen, you know, you've got the potential to play at a higher level, but maybe these little lapses in concentration are the kinds of things that are are maybe holding you back a little bit. Just to go back to that Melia header that Baz mentioned, I mean, that's, you know, Melia was probably taking a little bit of stick recently, which is crazy for a child. A child is probably the right word, actually, of his age. You know, people expected, oh, he's signed for Tottenham, he's going to score every week in the League of Ireland. That was absolutely never going to be the case. But he really has come good in the last couple of weeks. I mean, the goal he got, was it just last weekend, was very, very good. And this header, exactly like Barry had said, like, you're looking and you're going, who's that? And the last person in the world I was going to guess was Melia. I didn't realise he had, you know, that is another tool in his box of tricks that I didn't know he had. It was such a brilliant leap and such a powerful header. It's brilliant to see that he has that in his game as well.
Stephen Doyle has waited patiently. We should let him in here. Good evening, Steve-O. How are things? What can you tell us about the game at Daily Mount and the aftermath at Daily Mount? At least I think he's there.
He's on mute. Stephen, you're on mute.
Hi, lads.
Hey, there we go.
Good evening. Yeah, listen, I spoke to the team manager afterwards. Obviously, well, I say managers, of course. There was the assistant manager, Joey O'Brien, doing the post-match duties for Shelburne due to Damien Duff's suspension.
You didn't climb the grassy knoll, no?
No, I didn't. No, absolutely not. Was it just outside the perimeter of the stadium? So I had to stay within the perimeter of the stadium to get the two lads. Listen, I think Anna Reynolds, interesting, I suppose, unsurprisingly, though, probably a little bit miffed as to the way his team finished the game out there tonight, because obviously Shelburne finishing the match with nine men. And it did look like it was Bohemians with nine men. It was like the Alamo at the back there, and Shells were creating chances. And I think Reynolds, I suppose the guts of his conversation with myself anyway, he was kind of, I suppose, he wants to see better from his side when they're in front, because as we know, they've been getting so many late winners. The statistics were they're only in front in all those games that they've won for a handful of minutes. And when you're ahead in the game and you're being put under pressure like that, that also requires character, a different kind of character. And maybe Bowes were a little bit short that tonight, even though they did see out the win and got the 3 points. So I think it's something Alan Reynolds maybe had an issue with after the match, and something he's got to be working with on his team over the next couple of weeks. Of course, they have a tough trip away to Drogheda next week. Joey O'Brien, on the other hand, I don't think he was too disappointed with his team's performance. And interestingly, I said to him, I suggested to him about Mark Coyle sending off, look, a very uncharacteristic mistake from Mark Coyle, but he didn't really pull any punches. He kind of said, well, look, you know, Mark just kind of got himself into, he said the words he used, actually, he made a bad decision. So he certainly wasn't mollycoddling the captain on the decision that he made and the mistake he made to give away the red card. And look, the referee had no choice really, just to give him the red, because he didn't make the attempt to play the ball. So obviously the double jeopardy thing doesn't come into it. And again, I think he felt the second yellow card probably was a bit soft. But what I was most impressed with Shells, I think, was the fact that you would often see teams in those situations where they go down to 10 men, especially so early on, they'll switch up to a 4-4-1 formation. Now, Shells obviously played with that 5-3-2 or 3-5-2, whatever you want to call it. But they went to a 4-3-2, which I thought was very brave to play for that long. And they made their substitutions at very interesting times, good times, I think, just to keep the team fresh, that they weren't getting too tired out. And they kept the defensive switches until late on in the game, which I suppose was a clever management from Joey O'Brien. But look, I said to him, was that a decision he made on off the cuff to go 4-3-2? But he said, no, this is something we prepared for, that we would have prepared for, you know, ahead of time. Look, if we're ever in a situation like this in the game, we'll go 4-3-2. And they really took it, I suppose. You'd have to give Shells big praise for that, the fact that they went for a steal even with 10 men, and maybe they felt themselves that they were unlucky not to get a draw out of it tonight. But look, Bohemians get the win, they get the 3 points, and they're putting pressure on the teams at the top end of the table.
Yeah, it's been my default formation, Steve-O. If you go down to 10 and you're behind, it's the way to go. All right, I've tried it a few times myself, and like it gives you the numbers in the areas. Like if you think about it, you know, at times you're willing to play with three in midfield, you're willing to play it back forward. Technically, it's not leaving you short in any area, because we will all go with those kinds of numbers in different areas in different games. And it's interesting to see that or hear that they do practice it, but probably didn't really do enough to actually carve open a proper equalising chance either, by the sounds of it.
No, like you'd have to say, well, Odebeck had a great chance in the first half to try and get a leveler, and like it was great work up front. I can't remember, I think it was Harry Wood, maybe he exchanged passes with before getting into the box, and you were thinking almost certain goal. And maybe he should have put it away, but they did have a chance near the end, and somehow Bowes cleared the line right near the end of the game, and you're kind of thinking, how has that ball not ended up in the net? So like Bowes, certainly they rolled their luck towards the end of the game, and which was quite mad really when you think about it, with a two-man advantage. But look, it definitely leaves Shells in a bit of a tricky situation as well. Now over the next three games, they're going to be without Mark Coyle. Obviously, he'll get an automatic three-match suspension. They'll be down Ali Coote as well for the match on Monday night. That's a home against Drogheda, then they're away, or sorry, home against Sligo Rovers then, and away to Cork City. So look, based on the table, probably not the worst two games to be missing Mark Coyle for those two matches. But look, if Sligo can hit a run of form after that win tonight, and if Cork City get the new manager bounce with Jaron Ash, maybe it will be an issue missing there Mark Coyle. But I said that to Joey O'Brien. He was at, look, I said that to the lads in the dressing room. I said, this is an opportunity for the rest of us. You know, this is your chance now. You have to take it. So, he's certainly thrown in the gauntlet to the rest of the squad.
Steve-O, thanks a mil for that. Safe home. Hopefully you get out and you're not locked in like Jonathan Higgins was at the RSC that one time. So we'll let you escape there.
I'll never get locked into Daly Mount Park, you can be sure of that.
Sure, it's practically your home anyway.
The bar's been open anyway, you're grand.
Take it easy. Okay, we have time for probably one more caller tonight. So I'm going to get Jerry Murray on the line. Good evening, Jerry. How are you? I think he's on mute there. Jerry, if you want to unmute yourself. No, he's gone a bit shy. We'll see if we can get Jerry up in a second there. That's very interesting, Shane, because...
Sorry, folks, how are you?
Oh, there we go. Can hear you loud and clear. How you doing?
I'm good. How's everything? Sorry about that. I had you on mute.
You had us on mute. Ouch.
Not like that, lads. Not like that.
I'd be better off.
The floor is yours. What do you want to get off your chest?
I'm a Bowes fan, season ticket holder. A great night, but I actually thought the referee ruined the game, in fairness. Like, it wasn't like, you know, it wasn't never going to be a classic. You know, Bowes and Shells don't tend to be classics, but... I actually thought that the referee ruined the game. And it wasn't sounding off, but I just like to see what the lads think of it. Like, really, you know, it's a great win for us. And, you know, we're up to third on goal difference behind Derry. But I just think that the referee made some terrible decisions, mostly for us. But, like, I just think, to be honest with you, I just think the standard of refereeing from one week to the next it's not consistent. So I'm just thinking, what do you think, you know?
It's definitely rare that we get a supporter of a team who the referee sent off two of the opposition players on. It's rare enough that he's the one giving out about the referee.
No. Like, but I just, in general, I just don't think, I think it's a spectacle, Shane. I just don't think, you know, I just think the referee just, it's a Dublin derby, and for me, I ruined it. You know, that's all it was based.
I think you're right, Jerry. I think he got the big decision right. I think it was a penalty and a sending off for Quill, but I think he got the Harry Wood yellow card for diving wrong. Yeah. I don't think it was a dive. I don't think it was a foul. It was one of those in between. And the Coote foul for the first one was a yellow card, but it wasn't a dive for the second one. He gets contact, tries to make the most of it, but it's not a dive. That sort of stuff incensed the Shells bench, and half of them end up getting booked as well. Like, so just one bad decision leads to other people's decisions, and it does need to be stamped out. But yeah, as you said, the big decision on the night was the penalty, the one you got right, but the little ones in around were probably wrong.
Yeah, and
the atmosphere at the final whistle must be fantastic in the place at the moment.
Oh, it's unbelievable! Like, it's just unbelievable. Like, you know, it was. I don't think, like, it's hard to believe from where we were after seven games. I think, you know, we won one and lost six, and now it's totally, I think we've won six of the last seven, which is just unbelievable. But, you know, we can't get carried away. Like, you know, Waterford beat us at home a couple of weeks ago. Now, you know, Waterford like won four in a row and they were beaten tonight, but they put it up the Rovers tonight. So,
like that, you know,
we get too far ahead of ourselves, you know, something's going to happen. But like
can you give me, I was just wondering, looking at the lineup and that, I was just wondering if you could give me any insight on what was the idea at centre forward. I see neither of your two normal nines started. Is there a thought process behind that, or why he went without?
Well, basically, I think Clarkey is just
holding the ball up. You know, he's lovely. He's great balance. Like, he's very strong. And I think they're looking at the wings. Like, they'll be looking at, you know, De Rooney and Tierney then to get in behind. You know, like, Colin Whelan does put a shift in, but I just think that when James Clark, like, when he receives the ball, if you watch him, like, he very rarely loses it. Like, he might have a straight pass here and there, but he's always, like, he's just so strong. And I think it's more, I think what Rennie likes to do in that situation, like, he did this at the start in
a couple of weeks ago, and we were the better team in that first half, and they got two goals in a minute, but it was the same kind of system. Clarkey was holding the ball up and he was bringing people into play, you know, with the likes of the wingers. Parsons was playing that day, and then if they're not going on goal, they can cross in and Devoy, you know, can come on to it. That's the way I think Rennie plays. That's the way he's kind of always kind of played wherever he was being, he's coached. And I do get that, but I just think the work rate, like, Rennie loves work rate. Like, we're probably the fittest team in the league at the moment, and he loves work rate. I just think that if you're playing with Whelan, I just don't think the whole team has that work rate. I think Clark leads from the front, if that answers your question.
You think he's a viable option at centre forward?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. I don't, like, you know, like, you know, Clark won't be that way, but I just think that, like, the way Rennie plays, like, you know, he leads, he presses from the front, you know, like, that's the way he likes to play. And I think Clark at the moment suits that. You know, like, they're winning games. Why would it change at the moment? Even though I'm a big fan of Whelan, you know, like, I do like Whelan. Like, he changed the game for Saitot when he came on in Tallaght Stadium. But I just think that Rennie just won't change the team at the moment because it's winning games.
Yeah, I think, yeah, that's a great way to end it, Jerry. Thanks so much for jumping on tonight.
Thanks very much, folks. Up the bows.
Up the bows. That's a really interesting point that Jerry's raised, though, Barry. I think it's something that was always going to happen, and it's been less of a talking point than it would usually be with the third of the season gone. But I know Dan McDonald has made the point and plenty of times in the past around the standard of the referees and how League of Ireland referees are a little bit hamstrung by the fact that, I don't want to bring up the cursed word, but VAR, but the fact that there is none in the league means that refs are only going to improve so much until they get to, like, the European level. We're so far behind other leagues of similar standing to the League of Ireland in terms of UEFA coefficient because of the lack of VAR. So is it just a case that with all the televised games and LOI TV that there's just fewer places to hide for referees?
No, I think you can only have referees up to the standard of the league they're reffing in. And currently we don't have that. I think the league has moved on. Professionalism, the speed of the players, the tempo of the games has moved on, and the refs haven't moved with it. That's simply it. You look at throughout the leagues, and it's got to be a full-time setup here, but, like, you're looking for 30-year-olds, 40-year-old referees to come in as a full-time job. They're not going to give up a full-time job to go into refereeing where you've got a 10-year career. It will be as it'll be the same as a manager's job, trying to give up a full-time position to go in as a manager in the League of Ireland. It just isn't that safety position, but you need those referees who are full-time to do that in the league for them to progress and the standard of refereeing to progress. And it's just not there at the moment. And it's the same with the fourth officials. You'd have to wonder whether fourth officials are nearly causing half of this stuff on the sideline. If they weren't there, the managers and the assistant managers are shouting at the referee who can't hear you on the pitch anyway. They only ever get booked on the sidelines when the fourth official relays what's been said to the ref and they go over and book it. So if you wonder if you took them away and they just came down to do substitutions, would that make a massive difference on the sideline in terms of yellow cards? But again, it's about turning into the whole league's gone professional. Every club in the Premier Division has gone professional. So it's about time the referees really caught up, I think, and infrastructure and funding was put into that.
Listen, I never thought I'd be in this position, but I'm going to make the case for the fourth officials, because the yellow cards on the touchlines resulted in that fantastic photo of Damien Duff tonight. So I say, give as many yellow cards out as you want. Hand them like Christmas cards, lads. I think that'll about do it, guys, for tonight. Thank you so much to everybody who jumped on and listened and called in. It's great, as always, to hear from the League of Ireland Nation. We'll be back again next week. Take you through what's happening tomorrow and what's already happened, because the Men's FAI Cup is well underway. We've had results already. I think Crumlin United were 4-2 winners over Lucan tonight, so they're safely through to the next round. We have the first division results from tonight. Bray Wanderers 3, Athlone Town 1, as I said. Cove Ramblers 1, Dundalk 2, Kerry 1, Wexford 1, Treaty United 4, UCD 0. There's one game tomorrow, and of course it's Longford Town. They're at home to Finn Harps. Full round of fixtures in the Women's Premier Division tomorrow night. You've got Bowes against Shamrock Rovers, DLR Waves against Cork City, Athlone Town away to Sligo Rovers, and then the evening game sees Wexford take on Shelburne. We have two games on Monday. So Shamrock Rovers against Pats. I think Nathan is going to be down in Talla giving live reports from that one. And then Shelburne against Drogheda United is the other game. And a full round of fixtures once again next weekend to look forward to. Shane Keegan, have a great weekend. Enjoy the weather.
Likewise.
Oh, don't worry. I'll be here. Barry Murphy, great to hear from you again.
I think I'm there at 3 to 5 tomorrow, so I might see you up there.
Oh, a whole 2 hours. How will you manage?
I'll send you a picture from the beach, lads.
Thank you very much. Thanks for jumping on, Barry. It's been too long. Hopefully we'll get you on again soon.
Yeah, no problem.
And thank you very much, guys, for listening. League of Ireland Late Night in partnership with Rockshore and Off the Ball, a league of our own. Get the fact, be drink aware. Visit drinkaware.ie. Lots to look forward to in another week of LOI action coming up. Until then, have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you next Friday.
Off the Ball, in partnership with Rockshore, bringing you League of Ireland football, a league of our own. Get the facts, be drink aware. Visit drinkaware.ie.